All right, kids, come on up. Good morning. Did anybody go outside yesterday and play? Yeah? The sun was out. It was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Well, maybe you'll have a chance to serve this afternoon. We're going to have a work day. I know my boys are ready to go get dirty this afternoon. Hi. I missed you. How are you? You want to sit beside me? You were outside yesterday. Good. All right. Well, you know what? We wrapped up Awana this last week, and so I have something new on my mind now. Does anyone have any idea what's on my mind? What do you think, Maria? VBS. How'd you know? VBS is the next big thing we get to do, okay? So I wanted to show you a little video to introduce you to VBS. All right, here we go. Can you turn around and see the screen behind you?
Are you ready to roar? Head out on an African adventure that engages the whole herd. Create a stampede of fun at Sing and Play Roar. The Bible to life in wild Bible adventures. Experience jaw-dropping discoveries at Imagination Station. Run wild with high-energy activities at Stampede Sports. Discover what life is like for five amazing kids who live in Africa at KidVid Cinema. Get ready to let the good times roar!
All right, that looks pretty fun, doesn't it? Life is wild, but God is good. And you know, each day we're going to learn a different time in our life that God is good. So I wanted to share those with you. We're going to learn when life is unfair, God is good. When life is scary, God is good. When life changes, God is good. When life is sad, God is good. And on day five, when life is good, God is good. God is always good. So we're going to learn about that this summer at VBS. But I need your guys' help. Right now, I have one person registered for VBS. That's not going to be very fun with just one friend, is it? So what I need you to do is go home and ask Mom and Dad about coming to Vacation Bible School, and you can get online and register. So when you guys leave and you go down to Kids Connect, I want you to look at something in the hallway for me. There is a bulletin board right out there. It's behind the coffee, so it's kind of hidden right now. But on the bulletin board is a note that your parents can grab, and it talks about VBS, and it tells them where to go and register. It also has camp information for my older kids if you're interested in camp, okay? So check out that bulletin board this morning. And then you know what else I need you to do? Invite a friend. Because every person that registers, you know what we're going to do? We're going to add a paw on our bulletin board, okay? So we're going to see if we can fill that whole bulletin board with paw prints. You think we can do it? I think we can. We had an awesome summer last year at VBS, and I know we will have a great one again this year. So invite a friend. If you are preschoolers, we do ask that only our volunteers bring their preschoolers. So it's kindergarten through fifth grade. And then if we have volunteers with preschoolers, they are welcome. You know what? There are going to be some water games maybe at VBS. Yeah, it'll be fun. All right, but I also need some help from the congregation. This Thursday at 6:30, we're going to have our first VBS meeting. If you are interested in helping, if you have no idea about VBS and you just want to come check it out, we'll be in the Friendship Room at 6:30. I have a lot of you returning, I know, that have helped before, but we would love to have any and all help. It is in the morning, so I know if you're working that doesn't work out for your schedule. But if you're free in the mornings, it's the last week of June, June 24th through 28th. We would love to have your help. All right. That's a good question. She said, what about sixth graders? We do, I think some of our fifth grade girls going into sixth grade are going to help with music. And then, yes, if we have any youth that want to help us also, I always find a spot for you as well. So, all right, guys, let's pray. And then we're going to actually stay with our parents for just a second. We're going to do communion, and then we'll head out to Kids Connect, okay? All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word, for the Bible. God, we know that you are good, even through the sadness and the trials and the scary times in our life, God. I just pray that this summer you would already start preparing our hearts for what we're going to learn at VBS. I pray that we would be brave and bold and go out and invite friends who might not have a church, who may not know about Jesus, Lord. And we just pray that they would be willing to come and try out VBS and that they would hear all about how much you love them. We thank you and praise you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so go have a seat for just a second, okay?
Those of you who are serving communion, please come forward. Well, it is the first Sunday in May. Next Sunday is Mother's Day already, followed by graduation and then Memorial Day and the kickoff of summer, and then it is on. Vacations, vacation Bible school, camps, there's baseball, softball, soccer, more than we can probably understand, as long as well as mission trips. So there'll be lots of families doing lots of stuff. And so for the next 8 weeks, I want to take a look at this idea of family. I want to take a look at this idea of what is home, and I have called it divine design. And it's my hope over the next 8 weeks that we take a look at what I believe God had in mind for home and family as we go through Scripture. And so I picked this verse, Psalm 127:1, to kind of be the basis for the whole series. And it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. If we look at the Message version, it's pretty earth-shattering here. It says, if God doesn't build a house, the builders only build shacks. Now, the word for house here is a word called bayith, and bayith means home, a house containing a family. And so, given that meaning of house, I'd like for us the next 8 weeks, as we look at Psalm 127:1, to think of it this way. Unless the Lord builds a home, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless he builds a home. Well, I want you to think for a minute. In a reality, a house is nothing but material. It is wood, stone, bricks, plastic, metal, bunch of different materials. But homes are built on something greater. Homes are built on love. And I think there's a very intricate relationship between the two. I've shared with you before that I am an Air Force brat. I went to 13 schools in 12 years growing up. I went to three high schools on two different continents and two different countries. And people will look at our family and say, wow, that's pretty messed up. You guys must have had a terrible home life. It's just the opposite. See, we never grew attached to a structure. We never grew attached to wood and stone and plumbing or anything like that. We grew attached to each other. And so I tell people it was actually a much better way to grow up because we had to depend on family. Now, when we follow God's design for family, it becomes much more functional than when we try to build a home outside of God's design. When we build outside of God's design, we tend to lean towards dysfunction. Now, how many of you, if you're honest this morning, think that your family is at least a little dysfunctional? Okay? How many of you are sitting next to a dysfunctional family? Don't put your hands up. All right? Don't put your hands up. If you're having a hard time figuring out whether your family is dysfunctional or not, or if it's your neighbors who are dysfunctional, let me share with you real quickly five top signs that your family might be dysfunctional. Every Thanksgiving, Grandpa has to recount the story where he shivved another prisoner in the penitentiary. First person on your speed dial is Dr. Phil. Dad watches Cops every night to see if he is on it. Mom learned a great new chicken recipe from Martha Stewart while in prison. Or the bikers next door are always filing noise complaints against you. You know, God's intent for the family was not dysfunction, but function. Now, oftentimes when we read the Bible, we don't see that, because what we see is a whole lot of dysfunction in the Bible because of people who were sinners. Adam and Eve had two sons. One killed his brother. Abraham and his wife Sarah have this whole Ishmael and Hagar thing going on. King David, a man after God's own heart, had one of the most dysfunctional families in the Bible, loaded with adultery and murder and incest. Solomon had a bajillion wives. There had to be some dysfunction in there. But dysfunction was not God's plan for the family. His divine design for family was so much more than that. So let's look at a couple definitions to get us started this morning, and I think they'll help us take a look at what I'm getting to this week, next week, and the week after that. But what is a home? By definition, a home is a house or apartment or other shelter that is the usual residence of a person, a family, or a household. It's a place where it's said that one's domestic affections are centered. A family can be defined as a basic social unit consisting of parents and their children, considered as a group, serving one another. That serving one another is an important part, because the Latin word that we get family from, famulus, means servant. So it is a social unit. If we put this all together and do look at it as God intended, it is a social unit living together, functioning for the benefit of all involved, serving one another. Now, as we go through this morning, I want you to also have your mind open to this idea that as I talk about family, the things that we talk about the next 7 or 8 weeks can also apply to our church family. Not just our nuclear families, not just our physical families, but our church family as well. When you searched for the home of your dreams, you made a list of needs and wants. What kind of things do we absolutely need? How many bedrooms do we need? How many bathrooms do we need? Is the living space set up to function for our family, like the floor plan? Is there an outdoor living space so that we can have family gatherings? Is the laundry handy? Sherry and I, as we bought Ballinger's old house, one of the things that we loved about it and looking forward as our needs when we get older is that everything's on one floor. Laundry, all of that. So Sherry doesn't have to traipse up and downstairs to do laundry because she won't let me touch it. But we usually spend a great deal of time trying to figure out what our needs and our wants are. But how much time do we spend when we're thinking about home? What needs should our divinely designed home meet? What are the things that our godly designed home needs to meet? Well, I believe that there are three things that God wants to see met in your family in order to meet what he's looking for. And those are physical, mental, and of course, spiritual. A family unit should meet the physical needs of all of its members. 1 Timothy 5:8 tells us that if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. So what are the physical needs of a family? Obviously, of course, the basics are food, shelter, and clothing. Doesn't mean they have to have your family has to have steak every night. Doesn't mean that every want has to be met, but needs can be, doesn't have to be clothes from the buckle for kids. It doesn't have to be silver tab Levi's. Doesn't have to be an iPhone. Doesn't have to be $150 tennis shoes. There's a Christian comedian named Jeff Allen. He talks a lot about family, and he said one day his son came home from school and said, "Dad, I need $150 for gym shoes for school." And Jeff said, "Funny." He says, "What you want is $150. What you need is $40. Here, go buy a pair of tennis shoes." We, I believe, have to work harder as a family in this day of social media and marketing. I think we have to work harder as family to help our children, our family, understand that the world doesn't dictate our needs. They influence our wants, but not our needs. If you've ever had a chance to go someplace on a mission trip, if you haven't, I would urge you to try to take time to go. We're trying to get some different short-term mission trips set up this summer. Send your kids or your grandkids on a mission trip. It will be the best thing that you will ever do for them. Two of our three kids went to Mexico with us. And both of them, two of the three, that were our oldest daughter, we would never take. I hate to say that, because without a shower, without electricity, without makeup, world would be, we'd be miserable for 8 days. But the other two that went were both clamoring for new cars before we took them around. We went different vehicles. We went after we got back and they saw what vehicle that the family we stayed with had. Their cars were the best thing in the whole world. They get a perspective. They see kids their age, what they do with and what they do without, and how well they can do it. That there is happiness without having iPhones. There is happiness without having tablets and computers and technology. There's happiness without having to have all the newest and latest that goes on. Teach your children, teach your grandkids that if they have a roof over their head, they have food in the refrigerator and clothes on their back, they're among the 25% of the richest people in the world. Physical needs also means healthy habits, medical care, proper treatment if they do get sick. You know, if you go back and look at the Old Testament, God was pretty wise. God understood a lot about healthy habits, whether it was dietary, whether it was communicable diseases. Go back and look through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. You'll find that God had so many commandments in place to take care of bloodborne pathogens. If you work today, you have to probably go through some kind of bloodborne pathogen training in your facility. God already knew all of that. Knew about washing hands, about touching unclean things. Happy, functional homes enhance health. Dysfunctional homes foster attitudes that lead to illness, like through stress and uncleanliness. So the divinely designed home meets the physical need of developing healthy attitudes that lead towards good health. Now, those of you who are younger are not going to like this next sentence, but among the physical needs to be met at the home are the ability to work. I want you to think about it. God made Adam, perfect man, put him in a perfect place, the Garden of Eden, and what did he tell him? Genesis chapter 2. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To work it and to take care of it. We were designed to work. Our bodies were made for physical effort. God created Adam to do work. And unfortunately, in dysfunctional homes, many people don't learn how to work. They're not capable of what we're doing. So one of the things in our families, we have to make sure that we teach this. Dave Ramsey of Financial Peace University has a really good idea, I think. Sherry and I wish we'd have learned it when our kids were not already grown. Don't give your kids an allowance. Give them some chores to do because they are part of a family, and family means what? Servant. We serve one another for the better of everybody. Then put up a list of things around the house and assign a dollar value to it. For example, cleaning up doggy's poo in the yard probably pays a little bit more than taking out the trash. Those kind of things. Assign a work value, a number, to those chores. The ones that are more distasteful or more difficult get a higher reward than the things that are easy, and we teach them how to work. Here's another method that I heard from some ladies about trying to teach people work ethic. There was a lady who was really a frustrated young woman, and she went to a class called Organizing Your Life, and she heard a lot of different organizing tips, but she then asked, but how do you get your kids to help clean up? I have two young children, and it's usually easier just to clean up myself. That way I know where things are, and they're put away right. But I feel frustrated about that. Another lady said, well, what we do at our house is we have what's called a butler box. Anytime that something is left laying around, we pick it up and we put it in the butler box. And if they want it back, they have to do 5 minutes of chores in order to retrieve that object. And the first lady said, wow, how old were you or how old were your children when you started this? And she goes, children, that's for my husband. The last physical need I think is very important in this day and age is recreational time. I think kids need time to be kids. And so recreational activities, I speak of that, are just that. They're recreational. They're not a place where we take them where we keep wins and losses. They're not a place where we measure performance, like how many hits they got or how many goals they scored. It's whether they didn't make any mistakes. But it's free time. Children's minds are influenced and set free by fun and relaxation, especially with their parents. And so you want to know how your family spells love? T-I-M-E. Time. Time invested in them. Time spent with them. So if you have to meet needs, schedule individual time with your children or your grandchildren. Many of us are having times of influence on our grandkids. Schedule time with them. Do things with them, some of them one-on-one, but invest in them, because investing time in your children, your grandchildren, especially your spouse, is one of the most important investments that you can make. Second need I mentioned was mental needs, and no institution affects the mental needs of an individual as does the home. The home is the place where the mind can be motivated to reach its greatest potential. Listen to Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from that. A home is a place to nurture proper attitudes. Well, how do we do that? Parents, grandparents, love each other. Love each other, love yourselves, and then instill this into your family members. Because a sense of belonging is important for every person in the family. Everybody in the family has to feel valued. Think about what our logo here as a church is. Belong, believe, become. Belong. We want everybody to feel like they're a valued member of our church family. Now, in this day and age, just like church, sometimes blended families can often be difficult. And we have to be a little bit more intentional. We have to work on it as we go. Again, most of the dysfunctional families in the Bible, what was the root of their problems? One child was favored over another. Now, I got to admit, it's sometimes difficult for me because I have one grandson who is very difficult, and then his little brother is just like, hey, can I come spend the night at your house? You guys are doing that back to church, be the church Sunday thing. Can I come and help mow yards? And he's 5-6 years old. The other brother was like, nah, I don't want to do that. Don't spare the rod, spoil the child. But he brings good things to the family as well. He can be just as loving at times another, but we have to make sure that he feels as valued as our other grandchildren. A good mental attitude means that they have a sense of purpose. Part of that is our littlest one that will be here for second service, he senses his purpose is to help people already. He wants to be a servant. And that aligns with God's purpose. When we help our children and our grandchildren align their purpose in life with God's purpose, it becomes a very functional setting. The divinely designed family also includes a sense of security where every child is safe. And one of the greatest security needs that we have, I know especially for my wife with her background growing up, is financial security. She wants to know that she's going to be taken care of, especially as she gets older. So we need to have a true understanding of money and its use. And making money should never be a priority with your family, but we should teach them that it is a tool to meet needs. A tool to meet needs. And then finally, learning is the other aspect of mental discipline that our children need. We need to encourage a learning environment for our kids and our grandkids, maybe even our spouses. Encourage them to read. Encourage them to learn. Turn off technology every once in a while. It doesn't hurt for them not to be on their phone or their tablets, because then it gives us a great opportunity to invest in time, to say I love you, read a book with them, play a game with them. Our greatest thing that happened this spring for our grandkids is all six of them have become Uno fans. So whenever we get together, it's, where's the Uno deck? Where's the Uno deck? Even if it's just two of us playing, that's their deal right now. And so we do it. But don't think of learning as just something for our grandkids and our children. Those of us, as we get older, saw a report on MSNBC that talks about how learning helps us to stave off things like dementia and Alzheimer's. Continue to do crossword puzzles. Continue to read to each other. When we drive long distances, Sherry often reads to me as we go. But it'll be pay benefits in the long run for the health and benefit of our older family members as well. Of course, in the divinely designed home, there is one more aspect, one more need that is important, probably more so important than physical and mental, and that is the spiritual needs that we have. There is a day will come when our earthly lives are done, but yet our spiritual nature will live on in eternity. In eternity someplace. An eternity someplace determined by the choices we make in our spiritual life while we are here and now. And it's important that we share that with our children. Think of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Listen carefully. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be on the frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts, on your house, and on your gates. God commands this. What does he command? When and how should you teach spiritual concepts in your divinely designed home? When you're sitting around the house, when you go for a walk, when you go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning. Spiritual lessons should be all around your house. And it says you should be diligent. Diligent means constant in effort to accomplishing something. Constantly teaching spiritual truths to our family, especially our children and our grandchildren. I think the most important experience that we can have in life is that conversion experience, that moment that we become born again. And the most effective means of winning souls for the Lord begins in your home. You've heard me say before that once a child gets to be a teenager, if they have not made a decision for the Lord, the chance goes down to about 10 to 15% that they ever will. So it's important that we teach constantly, diligently to our children and our grandchildren, generation after generation, that they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Something as simple as finding time for 5 to 10 minutes of devotions each day with your kids will pay off huge dividends. It's something that Sherry and I lament we should have done more of when our kids were growing, because our kids have strayed at times here and there. But especially for me, because I was so focused on making it in football that I didn't do as good a job as I would like, and I'd love to go back and be able to do that again. But we spend a lot of time talking with our grandchildren about the Lord. And this summer, we'll gather up all six of them, and they'll spend the week with us at Vacation Bible School so they can be here. Now, Sherry will be pulling her hair out, so if you don't see her by the end of that week. When we design the home to meet spiritual needs, it is vitally important that we teach this concept of preeminence. Preeminence means first and foremost, above all. Deuteronomy chapter 6, that long verse I gave you, begins with this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all of your strength. So it begins with you and me, making sure that Lord is preeminent in our life. If we're ever going to teach our children what preeminence is in the value of our faith. You know, there was a day and time, most of us, second service won't get this as much as we will, but there was a day and time when nothing was ever scheduled on Wednesday nights and nothing was even open on Sundays. Grocery stores were closed, restaurants were closed, even gas stations were closed. Unless you worked in public safety or a hospital or you were a rancher or a farmer, you didn't work. But the truth is, something else became more preeminent, and that was the dollar. Restaurants sitting empty on Sundays didn't make any money. They still had to be paid for. Restaurants closed, they still had to be paid for. Grocery stores still had to be paid for. And the dollar became preeminent. The other thing I'll tell you this morning is that raising up children in a spiritual home is not just the work of the nuclear family, the immediate family. It is also our duty as a church family to invest in the children that come here. But that means also, if we think back to this, that I said that a family has to love themselves and love one another. That goes for us in a church family too. We have to love each other and serve each other so that people within the church might come to know Jesus. Again, many people will come to know the Lord outside of our church family, but they always seem to kind of lag behind spiritually. Jesus established the church family for a reason. He had a purpose. And that's why it still exists today, because the church strives to meet that purpose. Here at First Baptist Church, that's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Awana. That's why we have Youth Summit. We have those things so that people can be grow and nurtured here within our midst. Now, for those of you who are still younger and are still trying to figure out your way with kids, or maybe as grandparents, moms, and dads, you have families that are struggling and they're trying to find their way. See what God's plan is and stick to it, right? It's never too late to change. If you've already built your home, you can always remodel it a little bit. You can always touch it up here and there. Maybe your kids are grown, but your grandkids will come back and you can touch up your spiritual teachings a little bit along the way. Invest your remodeling dollars and your energy into the right things. Invest them into your family members. Invest your time into something that matters most, and that is your family members. But make sure that you build your house upon a solid foundation, that your home is shored up on the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus. Even the least desirable home today can be changed into a valuable, nurturing home if the time and effort and love are put in. Our goal, Sherry's, and our goal is to always have a home that when our children grew up and moved away, that they wanted to come back to with their families. But the only way that they do that is if they have been valued and accepted for who they were while they were growing up. And so that's one of our greatest joys, when we can get all of our kids together. And it's like they haven't missed a beat besides living in different places. I want to share a verse with you this morning to send you out. It is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I'm going to read from the Message version because I think it gets right to the point. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You've received Christ Jesus the Master, now live Him. You're deeply rooted in Him. You're well constructed upon Him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Sometimes we get so consumed with head knowledge that we forget to put it into practice. We just want to cram more and more in here. But Paul says, just do it. Put what you know already into action. You know Him, now live Him. Maybe you're here today and you really don't know Jesus. Maybe nobody's ever sat down with you and explained to you that first and foremost, you're a sinner. You're dysfunctional. But Jesus is the one who helps to make us functional again. If you've never acknowledged Jesus as your Master, then today I urge you, as we get ready to sing, to contemplate what life would be like with Jesus and maybe where your life is today. How the benefit of being part of a church family can also help you along that journey. So you have two options, two choices you can make today. One is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The other is to make a commitment to being part of a family, a church family, like First Baptist Church. Because family is the most influential social factor in the life of an individual, whether it's your family, physical family, or your church family. If we want to make our world a better place to live, let's start by getting families in the right place. Let's pray. But Father, we love you, and we come to you this morning and acknowledge that we live in a world that is not so family-friendly. And so we pray that you would help us as your church to begin to make families a priority, beginning in our own homes and then beginning here in our church family. We pray that you would guide us and lead us in your divine design for the home, that what matters most to you matters most to us as parents, grandparents, as family members, not only of another family, but as this church family. Pray that you would bless us for our efforts as we seek to serve one another in our physical families and in our church family. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, his death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins that gives us the hope of eternal life. Again, I ask, Lord, if there's anybody here today that has not received Jesus as their Lord, or wants to know more about them, that as we begin to sing, "Oh, to be like thee," they would come forward or they would meet me in the library or even turn to their neighbor this morning and say, "Hey, can you tell me more about this Jesus?" And as a church family, that person would begin to pour into those who have asked. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this day. We know that busy is upon us. Pray that you would help us to make sure that we understand who is preeminent and what is preeminent in our life. Most important, it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and our faith and trust in him as we strive to be more like him each and every day. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.